I'm John Krall. Basketball, the saying goes, makes Hoosiers crazy. Indiana's high school basketball tournament is the stuff of legend. It is a rare citizen of the state who has not heard of the Milan Miracle. And it is an equally rare citizen who does not have an opinion about whether the state tournament should remain in its class configuration or go back to the way things were prior to 1997. We will talk about class basketball today on No Limits with Indiana High School Athletic Association Commissioner Bobby Cox, State Senator Mike Delf, and Adrian Gillespie, who played in the state finals for her high school basketball team in 2009. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I'm fortunate to have as my guest today State Senator Mike Delf. Senator Delf, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, John.
It's good to have you here. Also in the studio with us is, I should say, Franklin College student, one of my students, but she's here primarily because she is an alum of the Indiana High School basketball tournament, Adrian Gillespie. Adrian, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. And joining us by phone is Indiana High School Athletic Association Commissioner Bobby Cox. Commissioner Cox, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. Glad to be here.
Thank you for making time. I understand this is a busy time for you right now. You're at a retreat, as I understand
yes,
it, today.
Yes, sir. We, each year, the High School Athletic Association's Board of Directors retreats to lay out the programming year for the following school year and our final executive committee meeting of the current school year. And so we have a day and a half of meetings, and we just concluded that within the last hour.
Oh, well, I appreciate you making the time to talk with us today. And I think, given that we've got you just for the first segment, I'm going to throw most of the questions here at the beginning to you. Could you talk a little bit about what stage we're at right now in the process, and you know what are the options before us?
Sure. As you know, Senator Delf and I traveled the state of Indiana, and we visited 11 cities to seek public input regarding our basketball tournament formats. And that tour concluded on May the 24th. Shortly after that, we concluded an electronic survey of the membership with regard to the question of whether they would like to continue with a multiple class tournament or return to a single class format as we did prior to 1997. We've collected that data, and we shared that with our board of directors during this retreat and had several in-depth conversations about the results that were returned by the membership from the various response groups that we solicited, including our student athletes. And now they have directed me to write a summary of that report, and that summary will be written and the statistics revealed from that data survey within the next week.
Can you share now any of that information?
Well, I'd like to let it be a public thing for everyone. I don't have it in front of me right now, and I don't want to misquote any of the statistics. But I can tell you that the conversations in our executive committee were spirited, and they were it was a really good conversation with regard to not only where our tournament had been prior to 1997, but how it's progressed during the last 15 years, and how we're going to move forward in the future, and what kinds of things that we're going to implement within the membership. And some of those actions were taken that are not necessarily basketball related and approved this morning, and we're going to release that in a press release before the end of the week.
Well, let me ask this then, and take it beyond the I can understand why you wouldn't want to share specific numbers. Were there trends that came out of this? I think there's a perception, at least out there, that there, for lack of a better term, that there's a generational split on this issue, that younger...
I think that's a fair assessment. There is a generational split. I think that those individuals who came to our town meetings, our veteran patrons, if you will. They are by and large about a little over 2-1 in favor of returning to a single class tournament. The data that we have returned is more than 3-1 to remain in the multiple class format, and we're surveying obviously school people, but interestingly enough, we surveyed over 1,000 different student athlete basketball players from our recently concluded tournaments. Mm-hmm. And depending upon what school those youngsters were from and what class they represented, the numbers returned an overall of a little over 3-1 to remain where we're at.
Was that just with the student athletes, or was it administrators and teachers as well?
We had four different response groups. We had member school principals, member school athletic directors, boys basketball coaches, girls basketball coaches, and then the student athletes, girls and boys, from all the schools that entered the basketball tournament.
Well, it sounds like then, you, to some degree, you've got a significant challenge there in that the people who participate in the tournament like it the way it is, but the people who buy the tickets don't necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as we deliberated these statistics and the data that we've gathered over the last 2.5 months, it does create a large challenge for the association to come to some kind of understanding of the direction the tournament's going to go. And then regardless of what format we choose, one of the important things that came out of the town meeting series that I felt was most beneficial is how we market our tournament and how we make our tournament available to the patrons. And we had that conversation today about our tournament structure. And, you know, as you know right now, this was true back in the day, we select sectional sites. Mm-hmm. And we have regional sites. And in some of our tournaments right now, while we have some local tournaments that travel is very easy, one of the things that came out in the town meeting series that we knew, but it was good to hear it from the patrons, is that there are some significant travels on weeknights for fans to get the games. Mm-hmm. And in those situations, our executive committee and board of directors, they are looking very, very strongly at first-round games being at home sites as opposed to having a central tournament site, kind of similar to what the NIT does with their tournament, to generate fan interest, to make sure you got at least one home crowd that's at home. So I think that's going to get some serious consideration as we move forward, and we'll continue to study that throughout the summer and into next fall.
What are some of the other options you're looking at for refining things?
Yeah, we received several compromise proposals that both the senator and I received while we were traveling around the state, and I have taken those, and I'm going to forward those to the Indiana Basketball Coach Association. One of the things that I shared with some of our patrons that came to the town meetings is that when changes are made at the association with regard to tournaments, it's basically done with success through coach associations. We will be releasing information within the week with regards to our football tournament. And there are going to be some significant changes to our football tournament. And the reason those changes occurred was because of the buy-in by the coach association in football and their ability to convince their bosses, their principals and athletic directors, that this is the best thing for kids and this is the best thing for football. And they did a wonderful job of surveying their members, presenting it to principals and athletic directors, presenting it to our board, and there are going to be some significant changes in the football tournament. And that's the way the organization operates. That's the way effective, positive change is made at the association level.
We're talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit, since we've identified there is a split here and that there's some public dissatisfaction. I'll start. I'm gonna bring Senator Delf and Adrian Gillespie into this conversation as well, but I'd like to start with you, Commissioner Cox. What is it that people don't like about a class basketball structure?
There are a variety of things, and I think it depends on the individual, John, what they don't like. There's some people, as I mentioned earlier, they simply don't like to travel. Mm-hmm. They like those local rivals. They like those games where one school is 5 miles down the road and playing others. And back in the 50s and 60s, when we had 700 schools, we had those rivals that were 4 and 5 miles away. School consolidation took a lot of that away, but we still had a lot of rivals going all the way up into the 90s. Class basketball changed the rivalry. It changed the schools that you play in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And so there are people that are dissatisfied with that aspect, that we've lost those rivalries. We don't have those traditional rivalries, and they're different teams now, and there's just not an interest in watching school A play against school B when they ought to be playing the school that's right down the street. While there, you know, might be 1,500 students less enrollment, that's the school that's right down the street from them. So there's that discomfort amongst the patrons, the travel. You know, I've never liked the Tuesday night games. Mm-hmm. I don't like games on school nights because it hamstrings kids from going to games, and it's hard on parents because they got to get up and go to work the next day. So tournament format has a lot to do with when we play these games. And then I mentioned to you earlier about first round home games. That concept was widely disapproved 15 years ago, that we were going to make sure we stayed in these sectional sites. Mm-hmm. But as we progress down this continuum and more people start talking about fuel cost and time and travel, mm-hmm. that concept's gaining more support.
Mm-hmm. Well, Senator Delf, I'll bring you in right now. What do you think it is? Why is two-thirds of the public, it sounds like, the general public, really would prefer the tournament the way it used to be? What are their reasons for being dissatisfied with the
Well, first of all, let me say, Commissioner, I miss traveling on the road with you. It's been a while since we've seen each other.
True.
You know, I think the travel is a big deal. I think it's almost like the redistricting issue where you've mm-hmm. divided up communities of interest and you've taken away those traditional rivalries. But I did want to throw this out as well. There was a statewide statistically significant opinion poll conducted that showed 61% of respondents between the age of 18 and 25 support a return to single-class basketball. So although the reflection back at the town meetings was such that it was an older generation that was really driving the bus there, in a statewide statistically significant poll, we showed that there are a group of younger people, a majority of younger people, that would prefer a return to single-class basketball.
Well, and really, Senator Delf, I think you've pretty clearly been on the record saying that you'd prefer a return to single-class basketball. Yeah. Why is that?
Basketball is uniquely Hoosier. It's a special part of our history and our tradition, you know, going back from John Wooden to Oscar Robertson, to Bobby Plump, to Damon Bailey, and all players in between. And it's been part of our state and national identity for years and years and years. And I think with that, we should respect that tradition and that history. Excuse me.
Certainly.
And I think back in the day when we made this decision, I don't think that was completely vetted.
Yeah. Well, let me toss it then to get the other side here real quickly. Adrian Gillespie, you like the class basketball structure. You played in it, right?
Yes. What,
tell me why. Well, first, tell everyone where you played and all of that, what year you were in the state tournament, and then why you like the class basketball structure as it is.
I played at Owen Valley High School, Class 3A. I played in the 2009 state championship final in Lucas Oil Stadium. I was a member of a great high school basketball team. The multi-class basketball gave us a chance to play in the state championship. Would we have made this, you know, made it as far as we did if we didn't have a multi-class? I'm not sure, but the multi-class definitely gave us a chance to go to the state, and it was the best experience of my life.
Well, and I know we're running out almost out of time here with you, Commissioner Cox, so I'm going to give you the last word. What are the chances is this a foregone conclusion? Is there a chance, actually, that we'll go back to a class basketball system or a non-class basketball system?
Well, I don't know that we can never say there's not a chance. There's always a chance that the tournament can change. But, you know, I think Adrian's comments are on point. The one thing that the board of directors did in 1996-97 was to make a decision that provides more opportunity for more Hoosiers. And Adrian is one of those recipients of that opportunity. And I think when our board of 2012-13 considers the options, opportunity for all 408 member schools is going to be paramount in their minds as they move forward with the decision.
Commissioner Cox, thank you very much. I appreciate that. We are talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests, obviously, are Commissioner Bobby Cox, the IHSAA, Adrian Gillespie, who is a former high school basketball tournament player, and State Senator Mike Delf. I'm John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. We are talking today about class basketball here on No Limits, and we're fortunate to have as our guest State Senator Mike Delf, an Indiana high school tournament alum, Adrian Gillespie, who's also a student of mine at Franklin College. Well, I want to talk a little bit about one of the comments you made, Senator Delf, at the in the first segment when you said that it's specific to our heritage. Are there ways to accommodate the concerns that Adrian Gillespie, you know, raised about how it creates more opportunity for students?
Sure.
And all that?
There were a number of compromise proposals presented at the different town meetings. We had 11 of them open to anybody from the public that wanted to attend. There was a straw poll conducted at the end of each one of those meetings, and the aggregated numbers came back that 68% of those that showed up to vote wanted a return to single class, 32 wanted multi-class. But over the course of those meetings, there were a number of compromise approaches to this situation that were presented to the commissioner myself. And I think there are a lot of good ideas floating out that could help us get back our tournament and also meet the needs of those that want the multi-class system.
Realistically, I mean, you heard the commissioner at the very end was saying, well, you know, basically, if the heavens begin to fall, maybe we'll go back to a single class system. But he did not sound all that optimistic at the end.
Well, first of all, the commissioner has made a very courageous move to agree to go on the road and hear directly from the public. One of the criticisms back in 96-97 was that opportunity was not afforded to the public. And so I take my hat off to the commissioner for agreeing to do that. He does have a membership that he has to answer to. I respect that and acknowledge that. But, you know, at the state, we also have a broader responsibility to make sure that things that are important to the state of Indiana, to our state identity, are also addressed. It's been my hope all along that the board of directors with the IHSA would look internally and see if they can find a solution that most folks could live with. I don't think everybody's going to be satisfied, but surely there are options out there that we could take a look at to broaden the interest in the tournament.
Well, and Adrian Gillespie, what do you think the cost would be to going back to a single class system in terms of the kind of experience you had?
We talk about how we're kind of losing attendance and traveling. And for me, Owen Valley was, you know, we're from Spencer, Owen County. We're a smaller high school in 3A. We had, I mean, personally, just seeing it, we had one of, I would say, the highest attendance in Lucas Oil for our high school. I feel like our whole county was there watching us and supporting us. And besides, you know, playing in a high school championship game, the state championship game, it was how our community rallied around our team and how I feel our town came together. And we had a police escort from our high school all the way to Lucas Oil the day of the game. And we had pep rallies. And it just felt like our town just kind of rallied around this whole, you know, this whole state championship basketball game. And I feel like going back to single class, you limit the number of high schools and athletes that get to experience it. And even now, being a senior in college, this, I mean, it still ranks as probably one of the greatest experiences of my life. So,
We are talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've gotten a couple of tweets here that, well, actually, several tweets. So let me see. One of them, two are sort of from Taylor and from Scott, who sort of say it's like daylight savings. You know, we made the decision. Let's just get past it. And I think, Senator Delf, before we went on the air, you were saying you've gotten a lot of that. That sort of response,
sure,
that it's a reality, and why are we even dealing with this now?
You'll get that, but the amazing thing, one of the things that stuck out to both the commissioner and myself when we went on the road to these 11 different meetings was just the intensity of the passion for Indiana basketball. It's huge. I mean, basketball is alive and well out there in the hearts and minds of many Hoosiers, and people 15 years after the fact still feel very strongly about this issue. It's really quite remarkable when you think about it.
Well, how much of this is also basically just time moving on? I mean, I'm of a relatively mature vintage. And
you're experienced.
I am experienced.
That's
the polite way to say it. But I went to high school at a time when, heyday, my high school went to the state tournament twice when I was in school, went to the state finals, and it was a huge deal. It was somewhat like the experience Adrian was talking about, where basically life in the entire town stopped. But it was also, you saw some things like the school had about 1,100, 1,200 students. The gym had a capacity of more than 6,000, in part because there wasn't a whole lot to do in a small town in southern Indiana at that time, other than going to a high school basketball game on Friday and Saturday nights. As things shifted, though, and people began to have more entertainment options, the attendance began to dwindle even before they went
right
to the class basketball structure. How do we contend with that?
Well, you know, the survey that I talked about earlier came back and showed that 85% of respondents believe that the sport of basketball at all levels of the sport, not just high school, but pro, college, high school, 85% of the people of the state of Indiana believe that basketball as a sport is important to the identity of the state of Indiana. And that, I believe, goes back and traces back to the Milan Miracle of 1954, mm-hmm, the story of Hoosiers, Bobby Plump hitting the last second shot, and this narrative that we painted as a state where the little guy can beat the big guy and shock the world.
Well, how often has that happened? And I'll say where I'm going with that is, I remember while this was being debated the first time around, and I was still in the newspaper business, I traveled to Milan, and for the Indianapolis Star, where I was working at the time, and they had me talk to everyone in the community, and I found sort of what you're finding with this, that the folks in the community really didn't want to see the change, but the kids who were going to Milan High School at that point, who were on the basketball team, and I think their squad was 2-18 that year,
right,
said, we're tired of losing in the first game of the sectional against much bigger schools year after year. Is there some way that we can be heard on this?
I think in some of the compromise proposals that have been advanced, there is a way to address that concern and get us back to a single class basketball tournament. And that's something that I've talked privately with the commissioner on. We're going to meet later on this summer in August and talk further about that. But bright minds should be able to come together and find a solution to that concern.
To make it possible for these smaller schools to
yes,
compete and prosper.
But if you don't play the game, if you don't give them an opportunity to compete, mm-hmm, you never will have that opportunity to shock the world, to have the little guy beat the big guy, or the little gal beat the big gal.
Yeah, Adrienne appreciates that.
I think she could probably take me, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think she probably could take both of us, but and that's playing 2-on-1. We've also gotten a tweet from a listener named Matt, who's given you a shout out and said that Senator Delf said it best. It is our tournament, and that's a heritage that we need to recognize. What's the reaction been when you've done these public hearings around the state?
Most of the public hearings, the people, even the detractors of the meetings, have been very civil, very constructive. We've only had a couple of instances where we've had to kind of refocus people on the issue at hand. The commissioner did a great job, along with the rest of the staff of the IHSA, in conducting these meetings. And like I said, I think a lot of very positive information flowed out of the meetings, and I think you'll see some reforms. Whether we go back to a full single-class tournament or not is yet to be seen, but I think a lot of positive outcome will come from these meetings.
Is there a way to do a hybrid?
Yes.
And what would it be?
Stay tuned.
Well, we're here, though, now and talking about it. I mean, what are some of the options we could use?
You know, after the meetings, the commissioner I spoke, he has the various options. He has my personal thoughts on this. I'm going to take a step back and let the board of directors and the IHSAA think about this, stew on this a little bit. And, you know, I'll meet with the commissioner back in or later on this summer in August, and we'll go from there.
We are talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Adrian, I want to ask, is there a part of you, since you went through the experience, and your only experience has obviously been with class basketball structure, is there a part of you that misses having had that kind of Milan experience where you were the little guys who got to go play against the big school and possibly come home a winner?
We lost by 3 to Fort Wayne Elmhurst in the final. It was a great experience because we were the smaller school and we had such a big fan base there. But, I mean, if it was single class, like I said, I'm not sure if we would have made it.
She's never experienced it. I mean, she's never experienced in her lifetime what it was like during our single class tournament. And I think that's why I'm not real surprised with the numbers that the commissioner shared with the current student athletes. Back before they made this decision, when they surveyed the student athletes, it was 60-40 to maintain the single class tournament. And so I'm not sure, unless you've experienced it and you've been there, as the state would rally every year, I think it's a difficult thing to put into context.
Well, I guess what I'm presuming, have you seen the movie Hoosiers?
I have seen the movie
Hoosiers. Okay, that's part of, but it is part of the mythology in this state too, is I guess where I'm going with this, Adrian. Do you think?
I mean, going to one town meeting in Seymour and hearing some individuals' testimonies, I feel like they do want to have that Milan upset again. And I was always on the winning end. My team, I was on a member of a great team. We won 4 sectional championships, regional and semi-state. And we did make a couple upsets in regional. We beat like the number 5 team in the state, and it was a great experience. But the whole Milan huge upset, you know, I just don't know if that'll happen again.
We almost had it, I think, in 78 or 79 with a little school up in northern Indiana called Argos.
Yeah.
And they came real close. They lost in the morning game, but that would have been the next Milan
if they'd pulled that one off.
That's right.
We are talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Ian, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm a 5th grader.
Yes.
And I plan to play sports in high school. Do you see any class changes in the near future? I play baseball and basketball at Park Tudor, and I plan to go to Park Tudor.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. In the interest of full disclosure, I probably ought to report that that's my son, Ian. So thank you very much for the call, Ian. So we'll go with that. He's wanted to get onto the radio and figured out a way to do it, apparently.
Well, I think we ought to bring Ian into the studio because he sounds like he's got a great voice for radio. You know, this discussion, Ian, is particularly focused on the sport of basketball. I'm not interested in talking about the other sports. I'm focused on the sport of basketball because of its unique cultural relevance and significance to the state of Indiana, both as part of our national and international identity. I know that there's been a proposal that the IHSAA has been kicking around to add a 6th class in football, and I think that may be what the commissioner was alluding to before.
Well, when we're talking about, it sounds like this is not something that, if they do make changes, aren't likely to come within the next year or two.
I think that's probably correct. I think it's probably unlikely that we would have an immediate change. I mean, there's a lot of procedural hurdles I think they would have to do for many of the reforms that were discussed at these town meetings.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Matt who says, "Hi, I'm at work and can't call in. What I have to say is too long for a tweet. Feel that the reason for the generational gap is due to the consolidation of high schools. Back when each small town in Indiana had their own high school, communities took pride in their school and rivalries were intense. When schools, which were rivals, had to combine with other schools, that rivalry went to the back burner, and over time students began to like each other instead of thinking of the people not from their community as their rival. At the high school in Princeton, painted on the gym wall is a history of the consolidation to show people how the high school came to be. I, for one, even though I'm much younger than most single-class supporters, would like to see a single-class tournament. I understand that that is probably not going to happen, but would be a lot of fun to see. I can't help but think of a packed house gym on a Friday night with an entire small town coming out to support their team and students." And that's from Matt, listener in Zionsville, looks like. Sounds like he's making your case for you, Senator Delf.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. And I guess, although to some degree, who did you, when you were in school, in high school, who did you see as your rivals? Were there still school rivalries?
Owen Valley was the only high school in Owen County. So we didn't have cross town rivals with anyone. Edgewood High School was our rival, and they were in Monroe County. So.
And that's the one everyone would get fired up for and all of that.
Right.
Well, and how much of that, the point that that Matt, the listener, makes here, who sent the email, is that some of this not even a product of the tournament or anything
that's right.
like that. It's school consolidation.
That's
I
right.
Mean, are there ways we can...
I think that's a fair point. There are a lot of things that have happened since we started playing high school basketball in the state of Indiana. But the fact remains, if you go back to 1990 when Damon Bailey brought Bedford North Lawrence to the state finals at the RCA Dome, we had 40,000 fans in the morning and 40,000 fans plus in the evening, 80,000 total in one day. This year for the boys, I think the total for all four games was just over 20,000. Mm-hmm. And so the interest has gone down. I think it'd be helpful to have more high school games on television. I think mm-hmm. that would help interest. But also this travel issue in restoring the sectional rivalries that we used to have would be helpful as well. But I'm just concerned. I think it would be tragic if we allowed high school basketball to go the way of the dinosaur in the state of Indiana.
Well, and how much of that? I mean, boxing has not been as big since Muhammad Ali retired. You're talking about Damon Bailey was a... Perhaps he's the guy Bob Knight identified when he was in eighth grade as the best basketball player in the world, was a charismatic figure, so that's sort of an exception.
Well, you could say it's an outlier.
Yeah.
But think back through basketball history. How many state champions can you name in the last 5 years versus going back and remembering Scott Skiles bringing Plymouth to the 82 state championship or Mike and Chris Heineman bringing Connersville to the 83 state championship? Or Jeff Gross bringing Warsaw to the 84 state championship, or Jay Edwards and Lyndon Jones bringing Marion High School to the 85, 86, 87. I mean, you remember those things because they were historical.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore, we don't remember. One of the things that kind of concerns me is this Carmel team that won the 4A state championship this year, mm-hmm. they reminded me a great deal of the 82 Plymouth team. Ben Gardner had probably the greatest state championship performance out of any high school athlete that I've seen in mm-hmm. the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of Carmel, I doubt many people will remember Ben Gardner 10 years from now. And that's tragic and wrong.
We are talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests are State Senator Mike Delf and Indiana High School Basketball Tournament alum Adrian Gillespie. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about class basketball here on No Limits today. Fortunate to have as my guests State Senator Mike Delf and Indiana High School Basketball Tournament alum Adrian Gillespie, pride of Owen Valley High School, right? We are. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Gotten an email from a listener who just wants to I think, correct the record for us a little bit. And that is, her name is Katie, and she says, in 1991, Brebeuf Jesuit, a school of 600 people, lost in the final game against Gary Roosevelt. We were the last small school to almost take it all. And she says, Brebeuf class of 1992.
I tell you what, Brebeuf has an outstanding girls basketball program. I remember taking one of their state championship teams in to meet the governor just a few years ago with Miss Basketball. Very, very impressive program.
We've also gotten emails, and it's an issue, I think, that people keep bringing up. So I'm going to try to consolidate them here. Well, actually, I think one of the listeners probably does that. It's Richard, who says, I'd like to ask Senator Delf why he thinks there's a role for state government in this issue. And
sure.
Doesn't he believe there are more important things for him to be involved with than class basketball?
Get this question from time to time, John, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. First of all, the Indiana General Assembly is a part-time citizen legislature. We're in session during a budget session from January to mid-April in a non-budget year, January to mid-March. So we're not in year-round. When we're not in, I'm usually down at the State House twice a month. We sign in twice a month for per diem. Basketball is part of the academic culture in the state of Indiana. It's part of the public education system in the state of Indiana. And if you read the Indiana State Constitution, just about complete authority is vested in the Indiana General Assembly over this broad bucket that we call public education. And so the question's never been, do we have the authority? It's should we exercise that authority? As you can imagine, and as you see today, I'm a huge basketball fan. And I think if we were talking about a historical art district or something else that was historical in nature, and it wasn't high school basketball, maybe people would have a different take on it. But I think this is something that is so important to the identity of the state, both nationally and internationally, that someone had to stand up and ask some tough questions about our basketball system.
Does that cut the other way? I mean, as you were talking, I'm thinking in some ways you've talked about the reverence that people have for high school basketball in Indiana, and that it is special. And I think we all would agree that Hoosiers just look at basketball differently than anybody else in
That's
the
right.
world does. To some degree, do you get some of the blowback that this is actually too important for a politician to look at?
Well,
it's almost like going to church or whatever.
Well, that may be, and maybe I'm an imperfect messenger for the message.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that, but I think the fact remains, had I not pushed this issue, we would probably not have had 11 town meetings, and I probably wouldn't be on the radio with you today talking about our basketball tournament.
And is that, as far as you're concerned, has that been enough out of this process that you've elevated and given people, it sounds like, you said earlier in the program, they got the hearings that they wanted 15 years ago.
I wanted to give people a voice, and we were very successful in giving people a voice and giving people a forum to speak out. And so that in and of itself has made this process, in my mind, successful.
We are talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. Your question, please.
Well, the question is, or the situation, I was pleased to play in those days when there was one class. And people have to remember that winning this a small school, winning a sectional, a big sectional, meant a lot more, I think, to not only the town but the surrounding area than winning the state under the class system. If you'd win a big sectional, I mean, those people that played on those teams would be known forever. I don't think, as the senator said, that's true anymore.
Where did you play basketball?
Mitchell and Hamilton County, Hamilton Heights.
Okay, and how long ago was that? Not to
date
you.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Probably 40 years.
40 years ago? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my dad was a coach, so I kind of lived it. And, Senator, keep up the good work. I agree with everything you've said.
Thank you very much for the call.
Wow. I don't think anybody's ever said to me that they've agreed with everything I've said. So.
Mark this time and date, right? So.
God bless you, my friend.
Well, and I guess that is the argument. I guess to some degree, Adrian, I'll, Gillespie, I'll throw this back to you. That is kind of the argument that in the old days, I'm going to try to synthesize this, coming out of the process, there would be the tournament, there would be one champion. Now there are four, and that to some degree diminishes each of the four. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way about your experience?
No, I'd have to disagree. I think that while if you were reigned the best team, you know, the state championship one class, I think that would be amazing. But nowadays, I mean, you have schools that are, you know, so good and they have such good athletes that there have to be classes. I would be terrified if my high school, if we had to end up playing Ben Davis in the state championship.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yes.
Yeah. You're a competitor.
Right.
You are a competitor. Is there anybody that you think that you can't beat, that you don't want to compete against?
No.
In any sport? That's it. That's what it's all about. It's about this idea that you can compete against anybody, and you want to try to beat the best.
Well, and is that the case?
Completely agree with Senator Delf. You always want to, you know, when we did upset the I think we beat the fifth team in 3A in this regional. It was very, you know, gratifying that we beat a team that was better than us. But I just think that four classes just gives you you are playing very good teams in your Class 3A championship, and it just gives you the best opportunity for four different schools to be reigned state champions, so...
We are talking about class basketball here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. George, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Your question, please.
Well, I was, since class basketball has come onto the scene, there's been this sort of anti-private, anti-Catholic sentiment that arises every playoff, and I'm wondering if this discussion about going to a single-class system is a way of making that controversy go away for the commission. I mean, I sort of think it's a ruse. I think it's a great idea to allow really good class systems play against other competitive teams. My kids, and by the way, I mean, my kids competed in track and cross country. And, because of how, and I, you know, I understand your concern about, Hoosier, hysteria, but I think the current system of single class in some sports allows really great teams, because of where they're located, to never even qualify for the state finals.
Thank you very much for the call, George.
I would just say that, you know, we're just talking about one sport, the sport of basketball, which, again, I believe is uniquely associated with the state of Indiana. So we're not talking about track and field or baseball or any of those other sports. And it's just, we've got to ask ourselves this difficult question of how important is the sport of basketball to the identity of the state of Indiana? How important is John Wooden and Bobby Plump and Oscar Robertson and George McGinnis and all these people that made our state known as a basketball state?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about, I think one of the points here too is that that this class structure is some of the pushback, the anti-Catholic school, yeah, anti-private school, the fact that they've emerged.
Sure, at all 11 meetings, we heard concerns about the private schools, the parochial schools. Some people made allegations of recruiting. Whether that happens, we don't know. So certainly that was an issue that was raised at every one of our town meetings, and the IHSAA commissioner heard that.
we've gotten an email from a listener who says that, named Peter, who says his high school was state runner-up twice, 88 and 90, in single class, but all of my memories were about the sectional games. The champ games at Market Square and RCA Dome were neat, but really don't compare. Heritage matters, so what creative means do we have, like two classes or four classes that play for the overall championship?
Well, they tried what was called the Tournament of Champions for a while, and that was pushed by State Representative Larry Buell. Mm-hmm. And that worked out until Lafayette Catholic and Pike High School played in the Tournament of Champions, and it was a huge blowout. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even competitive. And so they ended up getting rid of that system, and it's not been brought back. But there are other compromise proposals out there that I'm sure the IHSAA will consider.
Well, and it sounds like this, that they're talking about not even what we think of the state finals, the still painful experience for Adrian Gillespie, who I think has mentioned four times during this program that they lost by 3 points. So clearly, has not gotten past it.
Well, but, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about this off the air, but John Wooden played at Martinsville High School, and he's lost in the state finals or when he was in high school. And before he passed away as the all-time winningest, you know, national championship coach ever, he had communicated to Bobby Plump that he would give two or three of his national championships back just to win one state championship. And he wrote glowingly how important and how unique the single-class tournament in the state of Indiana was. He said it was the best tournament ever in the history of the world.
Well, and I may be exposing some of my ignorance here, but I guess what I'm hearing from Peter's email is that the thing that he remembers most or that mattered most to him was the sectional.
Yep.
And is there a way to do that, like at the college level, Big Ten, you know, ACC, all of those have their own tournaments to determine who wins that, but then it's pretty much separate from what is the national tournament. Is there a way to resolve this and maybe just have a local tournament where you play those rivals and get those kinds of bragging rights?
I think there is a way to resolve that where you could restore the sectional rivalries in the traditional sectional tournament, move on into a single-class tournament, and then also have an opportunity for players and teams that are not part of that single-class tournament to compete as well.
Would there be a way to do that, obviously, even with a class structure where you went with that sort of regional or sectional approach and then said, okay, now we're going to start the tournament?
There are a number of different options that they can consider that would do that, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask this, Senator Delf, since you've driven a lot of this conversation in across the state. Ultimately, is your goal to get class, you know, a single class basketball system back in place, or is it really just to create that kind of spirit again that high school basketball generated when those of us who are experienced, to use your words?
Well, one of the things I try to do with the meetings was to connect people with the history, mm-hmm. to retell the stories, to reintroduce characters, human beings that shocked the world to 2011, 2012. And I think on the main, we were very successful in doing that. So, yes, I'd like to help restore Hoosier hysteria to high school basketball. I think we've lost a little bit of that luster. I would personally like us to see – I'd like to see us return to a single-class tournament. It's my hope that the IHSAA does that on its own and looks maybe at some of these compromise opportunities. But they need to review that, and they need to make a decision. The legislature doesn't really like to engage in these types of issues. But if I feel like there's this huge disconnect between the will of the people and the will of the IHSA and their membership, then we might have to revisit the situation and reevaluate our position.
And going forward, I mean, right now the ball's pretty much in the IHSAA's hands in terms of if – is there an outcome that will please you and one that would not please you? I mean, you feel like they've stonewalled you at all on this? Or
no. The commissioner and I, what made this work, I introduced a bill. It was a comprehensive education proposal. One component dealt with basketball. That got all the news. We met through an intermediary. My high school government teacher asked if I'd sit down one-on-one with Commissioner Cox. We did, and he suggested going on the road. And I said, you know, let's go on the road. I'll take it out of the bill. Let's hear what the people have to say, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. We did that. 68% of the people that turned out and voted said they won a single-class tournament. 32% say they support the status quo. We said, well, or I said, you know, that may not be statistically significant. Can we do something else? Andrew Smith, the Butler fame's grandfather, paid for a statewide opinion poll, which came back and showed 85% of the people support basketball as part of our state identity. 63% want to return to single-class basketball. 61% of kids between 18 and 25 want to restore or want to return to single-class basketball. 65% of females want a return to single-class basketball. So that opinion survey was interesting as a snapshot in time. But all of this, I want the IHSA to consider and hopefully come up with a better product and a restoration of Hoosier hysteria.
And Adrian Gillespie, I'm going to let you have the last word here. Tell us a little bit about what the most significant memory of your trip to the state tournament was for you.
Oh, gosh. Well, like I said earlier, I just remember walking out of our high school locker room the day of the tournament, and we had a huge caravan of cars, and they followed our bus, and we had a police escort all the way to Lucas Oil. People were lined up all the way down our main strip in Spencer, and clapping and having little kids just look up to you and want your autograph and sign their shirts, and just being in Lucas Oil, that we were the first group of championships that got to play in Lucas Oil, and it was just great.
We have been talking about class basketball here on No Limits. I'd like to thank my guests, IHSA Commissioner Bobby Cox, State Senator Mike Delf, and Adrian Gillespie. Take care.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alsett. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.